Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Is your insurance company forcing you to go back to work when your doctors say you can't? If this sounds familiar, look no further than my law firm. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you. Get Goldfinger
today. Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost another close game to the Cleveland Cavaliers. By a score of 112-106. Nah, I'm kidding. It wasn't really a close game. And, you know, the final score is what it is, but it was not a close game. It was a game where the Cavaliers had firm control over the whole entire game. The Raptors couldn't step up and, you know... Man, honestly, it's just depressing. I don't really know what else to say, really. This is a depressing game. It really was, man. I mean... you know, at least that last game where the Raptors, you know, went into Cleveland and lost by 3 points and there were so many things to look at. This game, like, the Raptors didn't even try and, like, you know, anytime the Raptors made a run, the Cavaliers would just push them further back. And, again, the game was close, but it was really just the Cavs saying, you're not really going to do anything. And anytime you do raise up, we're going to, you know, take it up even higher and we're going to, you know, put you down, basically. And that's how the Raptors... lost this game to the Cavaliers. I guess it's not too surprising when that the Raptors lost, considering that Kyle Lowry had one of his worst games of the season. Man had 29 minutes tonight, shot 2 of 11, 1 of 7 from the 3-point line, 5 points, 3 turnovers on 3 assists. You know, the playoffs, like, playoff form is coming real early for Kyle Lowry. Real early for Kyle Lowry. And, you know, of course, it is not a good look for Kyle when his counterpart, Jose Calderon, who is pretty much the third string point guard for the Cavaliers, or that's what he was entering the season. Jose, who is 36 years old, I mean, we all know who Jose is. 19 points on 7 of 11 shooting with 3 of 5 shooting from deep, 4 assists, only 1 turnover, a plus 27, the highest mark in the entire game. And yeah, so that's a bad look when you let Jose Calderon kill you like that, because it's not 2012-2013 anymore, and, you know, Jose shouldn't be stealing your job. And also, it's a real bad look when Kyle goes to San Antonio yesterday to watch the national championship game. And look, man, decisions are made at the point, right? And if the Raptors allowed Lowry to go, and, you know, why not allow him to go? He's an adult. He can take care of his business. He can, you know, go support his team, then come home and sort of carry that excitement over to the court. But he did not. He did not do that. He what he did was, you know, be very glib at shoot around and deflect any question directed towards him and talk about Villanova and this and that. And it's like, all right, cool, it's all fun and games. So you're gonna show up and play this game, right? Nah. 5 points. 5 points. 5 points by Kyle Lowry, one of the two leaders of the team. And not good defense either, as evidenced by the Jose Calderon thing. I mean, tough. Tough night. And look, if you're going to ever beat the Cavaliers, which the Raptors have done, you know, It's rare, but the Raptors have beaten the Cavaliers before in both the playoff and the regular season context. If you're going to beat the Cavaliers, you're going to need your best players to perform at their best levels. And 5 points. 5 points. 5 points. Three turnovers, three assists. And Kyle Lowry said after the game, he didn't miss anything. He just missed shots. Okay. Just missed shots. Cool. Just missed shots. All right. And then in terms of the rest of the game, I mean, the stressful part really is that there were a lot of stretches where the Raptors didn't look like they knew how to play defense, and they would make a whole bunch of embarrassing defensive miscues that wouldn't be out of place at your local like AAU game where, you know, like let's say if it's like a bunch of 8-year-olds playing basketball and there's that one kid that's like way better than everyone else, like the whole team goes after him, and you know, it's almost like no one else matters, and it's just like, all right, let's just send five people at the ball, like Timbit soccer. And you know, that's what it's like with LeBron. LeBron just honestly, like, LeBron had a triple-double, or not triple-double, he had 27, 10, and 6 tonight on 14 shots, which, I mean, wow. But it wasn't even like LeBron was locked in or anything like that. Like, he was not locked in. He wasn't. Like, 27 points, 6 assists, 5 turnovers. You will take that from LeBron, normally. But most of that was just LeBron wasn't even trying that hard. And when LeBron did make any sort of hard move towards the basket, the Raptors would collapse. LeBron would find the corner shooter would make their shot. And one defensive miscue after another, man. I mean, and it's both the starting unit and the bench unit, really. Like, it really looks like a team psyche thing where, you know, nobody's really mentally prepared to try to take it to the Cavs. And I don't really know, man. I mean, what do you... You know, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? If you come in with that kind of defeatist mindset, how are you ever going to pull off an upset even? Like, yes, you can you could realize that it's an upset, but if you go into this game knowing that you're going to lose, you ain't going to win. That's just is what it is. And the Raptors clearly have a mental block when it comes to the Cavaliers. It really does look that way. You know, whether that mental block always presents itself, you know, is undetermined. I'm sure some games the Raptors will be composed and they'll take it to them. And, like, I don't think there was any mental block the last time the Raptors played the Cavaliers or the time before that when they won. But, you know, you could definitely see it creeping into this team once in a while when they play the Cavs and they make these silly mistakes. And they're just panicked, you know. That's the biggest sign, is that they're panicked and they're not thinking rationally. They're not making good decisions. And, you know, when that time... when this instance happens the most is generally when it's playoff time. It's playoff time against LeBron, and that's when we see the lopsided results. So, yeah, this game was not fun. This game was not fun. Jose Calderon was calling us. I'm not quite sure what leads the Raptors to continuously leave Kevin Love wide open. It's not like Kevin Love is an elite three-point shooter or anything like that. No. I don't understand that. I don't understand why the Raptors kept forcing players to go middle. Strange. Usually when you have a, you know, side pick and roll, high screen comes, the man guarding the ball handler tries to force the person with the ball to go towards the baseline. And the way you do that is usually you position yourself such that you know, you're between him and the basket. And... you know, that just didn't happen. They just kept making him go middle. And the Cavaliers would hit a bunch of shots. You know, Jose Calderon getting a lot of unmolested jumpers that way. Yeah, I don't really know, man. I mean, look, the bench came in and gave some decent minutes, I guess. I mean, if there's one guy that's not Shrek, it's Van Vliet. The problem is, it's Van Vliet, so, like, he has limitations, you know? Like, when he drives the basket and he tries to put a layup up, I mean, he's probably not going to score that because he's very small. DeLon does what DeLon does. He's all right. Poeltl didn't play much. I was a little bit confused about that. But honestly, defensively, he hasn't quite been there outside of that Nuggets game in a while. So, I don't really know. Siakam, solid, I guess. Made a couple dribble moves, went going to the basket, guarded LeBron a couple times. You know, it's what it is. CJ, hey, you had 8 points, actually, which is a little bit surprising because to the eye test, it looked like he had another really poor game. I mean, nothing like this. It's the Celtics game. I mean, thank God for that, really, because that Celtics game needs to be forgotten about for everyone's sake, but especially CJ. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think CJ was very effective. I thought defensively he is very, very soft, and I'm not sure why he was entrusted to guard LeBron. Seems like in terms of wing options to guard LeBron, I mean, CJ's right at the bottom with DeRozan. So it's tough. Actually, there was one play late in the game where LeBron posted up Lowry and, like, literally it looked like just bullying. LeBron backed him all the way under the rim. There was no help. Lowry tried to, like, force him towards help. Not really. All he ended up doing was backing away, and LeBron just spun in and hit the most effortless layup you could ever imagine. And that is the state of the Raptors, is that, you know, when it comes to the Cavaliers, they can't guard LeBron whatsoever. They can't even make him sweat a tiny bit, because they play up on him. He cuts back door. If he has the ball and they're pressing him and they're sending extra defenders, they're finding the open man. Otherwise, LeBron's just driving right past the guy to go to the rim, and he's scoring, and he's shooting free throws, and he's making highlights. I mean, this is a light game from LeBron. This is a love tap, man. I mean, he was shooting a lot of little fadeaways, little step-back jumpers. The only time LeBron really tried was against Serge Ibaka. I don't know why LeBron really feels the need to always be competitive against Ibaka and always try to show him up, but, you know, LeBron did that. But, yeah, you know. And on the Raptors side, I mean, it's sort of the same as they always do. Like, they see a lot of pressure against Lowry and DeRozan, especially DeRozan. The Cavaliers love to send extra bodies on DeRozan, and rightfully so. DeMar is actually a problem for the Cavaliers, that they really need to, you know, actually bend their defense to guard. Lowry is like, man, if he's not hitting shots, like, this guy's not going to do anything. Really, he's not. He makes some good passes and whatever, but really, he's not going to do anything. 5 points. Five points. That's all I need to say. So the Raptors go through the middle a lot, which is good. But that's another classic case of the Raptors trading twos for threes. Because on the other end, the Cavaliers are always able to exploit JV and even Ibaka for open threes. Where, you know, there's a breakdown, there's a switch, something happens, and all of a sudden, JV's standing under the rim and he's not closing out. Whereas there's some wing, some point guard wide open, and they're shooting, and JV's not getting a hand up. Same thing with Ibaka. I mean, yeah. So, and, you know, in these games, JV and Ibaka got their stats. I mean, JV, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 8 of 15 shooting, missed some bunnies, whatever. I mean, still was a minus 10 in 22 minutes, despite all that production. And it's not like you can give him more touches than 15 shots in 22 minutes, but still minus 10. And part of that speaks to the defense. And then also Ibaka, 14 shots in 29 minutes. He gave you 16 points with 12 rebounds. He was active on the glass. He had the Raptors' only block of the game. He hit some threes. The jumper looked more smooth than it has, you know, in most of March, because it looks like the rest has really done Ibaka some good. But realistically, like, in an important moment, I don't really see Ibaka making a lot of shots in the fourth quarter, and they don't quite look for him much anyway. So, yeah, I mean, it was, the bench made a couple of runs, like mini runs. I'm talking like 4 or 5 points, and then the Cavaliers would push it back, whatever. But, you know, Dwayne Casey still chose to close with the starters, still chose to close with Lowry, which was strange. I mean, I know you don't want to alienate your guy this late in the season, but, like, dude, come on. You can't put Lowry in the game and expect to win, because he clearly has nothing today. 5 points. And, then afterwards, you know, after like 2-3 minutes, Dwayne Casey pulled the whole starters because it didn't work. Like, what do you think was going to happen? And is that an effective form of punishment? Really? Like, are you trying to shame them? It doesn't really work. I think these guys have gone through enough playoff failures to be impervious to shame by now. I mean, when you get outscored by Matthew Dellavedova as the leading player on your team, I mean, yeah, so the Raptors lost. The Celtics are down 3 points against Milwaukee Bucks. If the Celtics, you know, hold on to this loss, which, by the way, the Celtics are down 3 points with Kadeem Allen as their only point guard tonight. Terry Rozier is hurt, apparently. So, you know, they're now on the road and they're down three. That's a lot of competitive edge to show for a team in that position. Whereas the Raptors, absolutely zero hunger. Only hunger we got is to go down for little tiny rendezvous in Texas. Good job. Good job by the Raptors. Turns your 3 stars. Number one star, DeMar. DeMar was solid. I really don't have any, that many complaints about DeMar. Yeah, defensively, he wasn't, like, the best, but, like, that's not realistically his job. In terms of who actually did their job tonight, DeMar did his job. 19 points, 7 to 13 shooting. The three-point shot has unfortunately really faded into nothing. The Bucks got a bucket. Okay, so they're up 5 with 31 seconds left, although the Celtics have made some crazier comebacks than that, so I don't know. But DeMar, I mean, 7 assists as well, only 1 turnover. You know, solid. DeMar was getting to the basket. He was effective. He made some tough shots. Again, like I said, DeMar is a real problem for the Cavaliers. And the Cavaliers bend their defense towards DeRozan. And, you know, when DeRozan was doubled and whatever, he made some great passes, especially in the first quarter. And then your second star, Siakam, I guess. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. He's got energy. He'll run in transition. He's got, you know, got 2 transition alley-oop finishes, so that's good, I guess. I don't know. Siakam is also a bit of a problem for the Raptors defensively because, you know, they're not, or offensively, because he's really, really cramping the floor, and a lot of teams are really clued into just laying off of him, and there's only so many times you can try to drive and get to his right hand because, you know, defenses can eventually take that away, especially if they're completely sitting back against him and having him drive towards the defense. It's a little bit harder for him to get shots up because he's not that strong. So if you're going into a man that's already waiting there, it's going to be hard to shoot through him. But still, I can play with energy. And then your third star, give it to JV or Ibaka. I don't really care. It doesn't really matter there. Van Vliet can also get some love, sure, but still 9 points on 10 shots is not that much to brag about. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's depressing. It's a depressing loss. If the Raptors cared about this game at all, they didn't show it. And, again, you know, when one of your stars comes through with 5 points and gets demolished by Jose Calderon, it's going to be a tough night for you. So, in terms of the Jordan Henderson Award, not giving that to Jose. That would be rude. Jose is not a Gerald Henderson candidate. All right, Jose is a... Nah, I'm kidding. Jose is the Gerald Henderson award tonight. 19 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, a block. 7 of 11 shooting. A block. Jose Calderon got a block. Hit 3 threes. Was a game-high plus 27. Shout out Jose Calderon. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough game. It's a tough game. Luckily, the Raptors play again tomorrow, so we can, you know, feel the same sort of fear and dread, and we can do that after seeing a whole day's worth of hot takes of people ripping the Raptors, and, you know, they kind of deserve to be ripped a little bit, man. I mean, like, shit, they're playing like garbage right now. Like, if you're one of the lower playoff teams, you're looking at the Raptors like they're food, man. This is a team that is not playing with any vigor at all. The 60 wins dream is pretty much dead. The Raptors have to win out the rest of the season to get to 60 wins because they're at 22 losses now. And again, the lead over first is very tenuous. And, you know, we'll see what happens that Boston game. But, yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem for the Raptors. Anyway, thank you for listening. Or apologies for listening, really, because this is a really quite depressing listen. And, as always, check out 10 Things. And I guess I'll be back tomorrow.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
The in-OLED display in the Cadillac Escalade has 38 total diagonal inches of color display. So why do we give it a curve too? I guess you could say we like to bend the rules. The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.